David Justice, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I thought you were going to do some talking. Sorry about that. Hello, everyone. This is David Justice again, checking in. The day is actually daylight savings time day, so we're a little thrown off by the time change. March 9th. In the year of our Lord, 2025. And tonight, the conversation that we're about to have is, I've titled it Root of the Republic. It's a continuation and a build on of the last couple of weeks. I guess before we get started, Mark, if you'd like to lead us in prayer, and then after that, we'll pause and see if there's anyone that needs to be sworn in tonight. So Mark, why don't you take it from here?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thomas Paine in 1776 wrote about the tyrannical actions England enforced and stressed the duty man has to God and a freedom to overcome that oppression. And that was the work he did called The Times That Try Men's Souls. And the solution then to freedom was to seek God as it is today. So that's what I dedicate this prayer for. Almighty God and Father of all creation, Elohim, please hear our prayer. Thank you so much for all the blessings that you have showered down upon our nation, America. May we all be thankful for what we have today as we look forward to the coming blessings that will be soon at hand. Help us to be more effective at spreading truth in a world that is preoccupied with the traditions of men that take the place of your word, Father. Direct us in the ways you would have us go, to be part of your plan to save our constitutional rule of law republic. We know that no one ever said it would be easy to do, Father, but everyone here knows that it is more than worth it to live under the laws of nature and nature's God with equal justice and liberty for all creation. So bless us with strength, perseverance, truth, faith, valor, and protection, as in Psalms 27, verses 1 through 3, and I quote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When evil men come to destroy me, they will stumble and fall. Yes, though a mighty army marches against me, my heart shall know no fear. I am confident that God will save me." End quote. So, Father, your servant David, to later be King David, knew not to be impatient for the Lord to come and save him. And so we should also be brave, stout-hearted, and courageous, and wait for the Lord to help us. In the mighty name of Yeshua, Father, God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and the descendants of the 12 tribes, Israel, and the land of Jerusalem. We ask this in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Wow. Very well done. Thank you, Mark, very much. Appreciate you a lot. Is there anyone that needs to get sworn in tonight that would like to get that behind them?
You can unmute your phone by pressing *6, or you can just press the unmute button if you have a Android.
Yes, Mike Wilson.
Hi, Mike.
Do you have your appointment letter, Mike?
Yes, I do.
Great.
All right, Mike, if you'll go ahead and stand or kneel, whatever puts you closest to our Father, as though you could ever get away from him. Raise your right hand.
Excuse me? I'm sorry. Hi.
Am I talking to you?
Excuse me? I'm sorry. This is Ken Kilpatrick, and I couldn't figure my phone out. But I'm ready to be sworn in today for the House of Representatives, State of Wyoming.
Hey, okay, Ken,
we do that on the House call. So the next House call will be sworn in, okay? Same with the Senate.
Sorry about that.
Swears their own people in as well.
No
problem.
Well, that's total okay. You know, you're more than welcome to hang out.
Okay, great.
Okay, Mike, I was a little distracted. Mike, and your last name, sir?
Wilson.
Mike Wilson. Mike, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Mike Wilson, do solemnly swear or affirm or both.
I, Mike Wilson, do swear.
Solemnly. Solemnly swear. That I, thank you. That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Of the office.
Of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Amen. Thank you. Congratulations. And thank you for your service. We appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations, Mike. What state were you from, Mike?
Texas.
Okay. And are you justice there?
Yes, sir. All County right. Justice.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll stand by for another moment just in case somebody else was having a hard time unmuting.
And press star 6 to unmute and to star 6 to mute again, or the little unmute button on your phone, if you got iPhone. Anybody else needs to be sworn in?
Okay, I'm going to assume or presume, there's the distinction that will be made, but not tonight, that there's no one else in the queue that needs
to be sworn in.
To be sworn in. Now I've lost my outline. Just a second. Oh, this is. There it is. Okay. All right. Tonight, again, the topic for tonight is called Root of the Republic. This is going to be about 45 minutes, just so everybody gets to know how long, how comfortable they need to get. I'm going to address, in particular, the United States of America, the flag, and the republic to which it stands, particularly in the Pledge of Allegiance, which everybody knows. We've recited it since we were little, and if you haven't, I have, so I can't really project onto you that you've had any kind of a life like mine, so forgive me. But I want to distinguish the portion in the quote, I pledge allegiance, and then I'm going to skip to the republic. Yeah. For which it stands, which is a reference back to the flag. And the words that come right immediately right after that, that were not held, were not published with the first oath. They came in later under Eisenhower. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The reason I want to go here is because there's a lot going on about this flag. People burn it. They hate it. People step on it. Some people think it's an icon and refuse to dignify it because they feel that's a form of idolatry. Some people feel that it represents a corporation as a flag of war, and particularly I would single out Judge Anna. Vaughn writes, you know, I want to get down to the bottom of this issue. And that's where I want to take everybody today. Because this is a trigger. This is a flashpoint. And if we don't get our minds around the truth of this, then division, factions, quarreling will be the rule of the day. So what my objective tonight will be is to distinguish a foundation that we can all confidently stand on, and so that when we exercise our faith, we aren't exercising a whimsical faith or a dogmatic faith or a misaimed and arbitrary and capricious faith. You know, if we're all in alignment with our faith, we can move mountains. You know, the master said, you know, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it'll move. My God. And he was talking to his apostles singularly, but he was also talking to them collectively, and that's my interpretation. But he was also talking to anybody that would follow him, and particularly a body of people that were following him. We get our thoughts in alignment. And, you know, the science of quantum mechanics and, you know, the science of thought. And we've learned a lot in the last 100 years about the power of thought and how it impacts our lives directly, you know. And we really have to be careful with what we think, because we tend to manifest what we think. And it's like the narrative we live into. And, you know, and so if we get stuck in a delusion, you know, it becomes a prison. And then we go out and we find people that will agree with us. And then our prison becomes even stronger, because now we got people, you know, needing to be right. And so if we have a false narrative going, or any narrative going for that matter, we tend to draw people to us to support our need to be right, our need not to look bad or be wrong. Everybody likes to be right. So I'm going to start from the premise I'm going to work from today is Henry David Thoreau. And if you don't know who Henry David Thoreau, I'm sure you can easily find it online. Very important guy when it comes to distinguishing civil disobedience. And he was a student of reality, and he wrote from that place, What's Reality? And this was his quote, and you know, I'm not going to argue that everything he wrote was true, but this one rings true for me. He said, there's 1,000 hacking away at the branches for everyone striking at the root. I don't want to be a branch trimmer. You know, the thing is when you trim branches back, they grow back even stronger. So we don't want to be troubleshooting symptoms and distinguishing them as problems, because then we get caught up in the branches and we end up making the labyrinth even more complex than it was when we started, and we find ourselves caught in a maze of thought that it's difficult from which to escape. And I think that the world, and I put world in air quotes here, is a collective sum total of the aggregate of all of the people that think on this planet, and it creates a world that basically is delusional. And to whatever narrative we buy into, you know, we go down our little rabbit trail and we find ourselves stuck, and we barely even found our way out of where we're trying to go. So I want to start with this flag thing. And it ties into my last couple of talks where I was distinguishing the importance of one nation under God. I'm just expanding the conversation out now to the flag itself. And I have this thing experience that I want to draw on. Okay. So I have four sons, and The last couple of them wanted to do Boy Scouts, and this was back in the 2000s, early 2000s, and I was in a place inside my exploration in the Patriot Movement, Sovereign Citizen Movement, you know, whatever you want to call it, but I was at a place in my growth and understanding that I at that time wasn't very happy with the flag because I had adopted a certain perspective and was trying it on, and in that particular part of my life, I was stubborn enough to not want to pledge allegiance to the flag. But what I did do is I pledged allegiance, and then I just didn't say those words. I said pledge allegiance, and then I went silent. And then I started back up again, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all. It's kind of a little bit embarrassing to recollect this and share it, but that's okay because I was, you know, it's my past. It's all of our pasts that make us who we are today. And, you know, this is why we're told not to judge, you know, because, you know, those that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, you know. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, there's scripture by Paul in Romans. But so my sons were doing Boy Scouts, and I didn't want them to stand and pledge allegiance until they understood what it was they were pledging allegiance to. And so I wouldn't let them do it. And, you know, it made an impact in Boy Scouts. And it was, you know, Boy Scouts was already moving toward Mommy Scouts back in the day, and that upset me. And I didn't see Boy Scouts on the same trajectory that it was when I was a Boy Scout. Be that as it may, my point is, without going into too much depth, that I didn't want my sons pledging allegiance because I didn't know. I didn't understand. There was like too much missing. I didn't have enough information. And so I operated from the narrative within which I operated. It's all I had. I didn't have any other tools. And this is why we need to let each other off for where we've come from, because again, where we came from got us to where we are, and here you are tonight, and this is what's important. So I have the opportunity to now to really address this, talking about the flag. You know, the flag, means standard. It's a standard. And in America, a standard is established in the principles upon which the American Republic was established. And here's those standards, okay? We hold these truths to be self-evident. Okay, let's stop right there, because here's the first standard. We hold these truths. Okay, so there's a standard of America's founders. It was Thomas Jefferson specifically that wrote this sentence before it was adopted by the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. We hold, just like in a Supreme Court ruling today, we hold, and that becomes a foundational principle. But the original principle, we hold these truths, means that what is about to be said came out of a self-evident truth, self-evident relative to where they had been, where Western civilization had been up until that time. And up until that time, Western civilization included the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Until that time, the evolution of Western civilization had gone through the Puritan, the separation in the 1620s, where the pilgrims and others got on the Mayflower. Columbus set out on the Nina, the Pinta, and Santa Maria. Anyway, people were moving away from England and Great Britain because they were being persecuted for adopting a line of thinking that was contrary to what was adopted as acceptable truth back in the day. It was just like in the days of Messiah. There was an acceptable truth. You may think this, but you shall not think outside the box. If you do, we're going to burn you at the stake. We're going to behead you. We're going to crucify you or whatever, you know, whatever. People that tend to push the envelope of the Overton window, as it's been labeled, tend to be excluded, marginalized, demonized. Did I say excluded from even labeled as extremists or malcontents or what? Name the label. You've heard them all. If you're here in this conversation, you've heard, you know exactly what I'm saying. You've been accused of it. We came through but those people came over here with a vision. The Enlightenment happened about the same time. There was writers like Thomas Paine and Montague and others that were writing on principles that were distinguishing, hey, you know, just because a guy's got a crown on doesn't mean that he's God's vicar on earth. We don't care if the guy has a fish hat on or whether he's wearing a crown. We have the right to challenge the narrative, especially if we're led to believe something that isn't consistent with what our hearts say is true. I read the scripture, you know, one of the biggest problems back in the day is when the Bible finally made it out into written form. Well, I think the guy that did that, I can't recall his name right now, but I will. If I'm not mistaken, it was, what's the name of that? Gutenberg? I don't remember. Forgive me. He was considered a heretic for putting that Bible in writing. Okay, well, that's because those that controlled the narrative over what was projected onto the Bible were threatened by the idea that the people might read it for themselves and then, oh no, they might derive a different understanding than what we've been teaching. And so it was a dangerous thing for the state and the church to operate in tandem to control the narrative. And that's exactly what they were doing. They were controlling the narrative, and that narrative was severely challenged by the Enlightenment thinkers. And as a result, America was born. So you had this mix. But if you drill down into the mix, and it was voiced by Thomas Jefferson, who said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. There's one, that they are endowed by the Creator. There's a principle. Oh, my. More than a principle, that's a principle with an A-L, not an L-E, principle. But we're talking about principle, P-L-E. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. They are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable, and some say unalienable, and I'll get into that on another call because I've spent a long time looking at that one. But I'll distinguish them both to accommodate those that are hanging on, and it's okay. I get it. Unalienable rights. Unalienable rights. One more time. We hold these truths to be self-evident. By the way, this is paragraph 2. That all men are created equal, they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable or unalienable rights. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their power from the consent of the governed. All right, we're just going to stop there. Consent of the government. We're going to stop there. Truth. We're going to stop there. We're going to distinguish Creator, because it talks about the law of nature and nature's God. And whether we come in through Scripture, whether we come in through the Enlightenment, which was people moving a little bit away from religion because they didn't appreciate the religious monopoly over the mind, and so they were challenging the notion of the narrative. They were challenging the narrative as what they were doing. They came up with that law of nature and nature's God. Be that as it may, there's one God. There's one Father in heaven. There's one and one only. There's a scripture, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one." This idea of one, it's an intense one, because that means there's only one. And I've mentioned it the last couple of weeks, one nation under God could only mean one thing. It's distinguishing a covenant with the Creator. The Declaration of Independence actually brings to light the idea of truth, a creator that has endowed the people, upon the people, certain unalienable rights, among which, it doesn't say specifically and eliminating anything that's not mentioned, they just mentioned three: life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Among, we hold these self-evident truths, among them. So among is pretty all-encompassing. You know, there's a lot more. And this idea of due process and free speech and the church shouldn't dictate to the state and the state shouldn't dictate to the church and the autonomy of the church. And, you know, on and on it goes. And you know what? The 10th Amendment to the federal constitution says all power not vested in the United States, nor prohibited to the United States by the Constitution, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So there's power reserved to the people. That distinction in the 10th Amendment is just another among these rights. In other words, sovereignty is vested in the people. But where does sovereignty get vested from? Did the Declaration vest sovereignty in the people? No, Jefferson is distinguishing that the vestment of sovereignty is a natural, inherent vestment, and it can only come from the one, which is the Creator. The one spirit that is the all in all. That's the source. And so the people share this relationship with the Creator. I mean, in the Creator, we live and move and have our being. And inside this living and moving and having our being, we are endowed with certain unalienable rights. Among which. And if you want a quick photograph, a quick picture of what those are, the first 10 articles in amendment to the federal constitution, they're not rights granted by the constitution. Those are limitations on the power of government. If you read the preamble to that Bill of Rights, but it's not a Bill of Rights, but if you read the preamble inside when it was proposed, it distinguishes that those are not rights. Those are limitations. Principle being, the government, although it was created and granted certain powers, not granted, but delegated, to hold in trust, if you will, vested by the people. People did not vest their sovereignty in the federal government. The people vested their power in certain ways to hold in trust, to exercise the people's will in matters of government. All right. This is a fundamental standard. Get me, okay? A flag is a standard. When we pledge allegiance to the flag, we're not pledging allegiance to a piece of cloth with 13 stripes on it and 50 stars on a field of blue. We're pledging allegiance to a standard that the flag represents. and to the republic for which it stands, a flag, and this is the drive home point. A flag is a standard that represents ideals. A pirate flag tells you that they're going to steal your stuff. So the idea of the flag, there's a deeper meaning than just the cloth. You know, these soldiers, you know, they come home and, you know, they got their arms around the flag. It's not the flag. It's what's behind the flag. It's what the flag actually represents that we love. The freedom, the idea that government is our servant, not our master. That's a standard in America. You know what? I pledge my allegiance to that. I pledge my allegiance to this. Listen up. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's a standard. That's foundational. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. That whenever a government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. That's a standard. And then it goes on. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. But all experience has shown that people are more prone to watch football than to right themselves by abolishing the form of government to which they are accustomed. No, it doesn't actually say that. It says prudence indeed will dictate governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. But all experience has shown that mankind is more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form of government to which they are accustomed. And then it goes on to say, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism, the people have a duty to throw it off. That's a standard. It's because the people are sovereign. The government is a mechanism created and vested with power by the Constitution. The people reserve to themselves the power. No, we have the power. All power not vested in the Constitution, all power not granted to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states. To the United States is reserved to the states. Listen, reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. 10th article and amendment. Go read it. It's huge, but it's just distinguishing what already was. The 10th amendment didn't create this. The 10th amendment merely expressed this. There's plenty of authority out there that says that the people's sovereignty is antecedent to government. In other words, the people's relationship with God, the Father, is a higher covenant. And inside that covenant, the people are what they call the sovereign body politic. Now, I didn't coin that phrase. There's a book out there, John Randolph Tucker, in the late 1800s, wrote a book called The Constitution. And he basically drills down on the idea that the people are sovereign. They form inside themselves or with each other a sovereign body politic. People are autonomous individually, but then they come together for the purpose of government and they form what is called a sovereign body politic. I would say that that's directly analogous, if not the same thing, because there's only one God. It's the same thing as the body of Christ. That's the standard upon which America is founded. You know, if we don't get back to the standard upon which America was founded, we're hacking at the branches. We're not dealing with the root. You know, we're chasing rabbits down rabbit holes. You know, we're making the branches stronger. You know, we're making the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're just making it stronger when we fight narratives. There's only one non-narrative out there, and that's the truth. Whatever that is, and we're all looking for it. And we fall down and scratch our knee, and ow, and then we got to get up and start walking again. And it can be, in a day like this, it's painful. Confusion rules the day, only because we have been taken down a path. We have bought into a narrative where we've dismissed the idea that God's even real, especially when it comes to politics. You know, again, I've said this, and I'm going to tie it in again. I'm going to use Colorado's Constitution because I happen to live in Colorado. Preamble to Colorado says, "We the people of Colorado, with profound reverence to the supreme ruler of the universe." See, back in the day, they recognized this idea. They didn't think that we'd ever come into a time where we would have many people in the population dismissing that idea out as a religious concept. It's not a religious concept. It's a reality. It's a fact. And the more we study science, science is proving this fact. Pseudoscience isn't proving this fact. Pseudoscience is doing the same thing that institutional Christianity is doing. It's taking us down this path of nonsense, where things don't make sense. Rewind back to the Age of Enlightenment. The period of time where men were challenging the notion of divine right of kings. People were challenging the notion that a king couldn't commit crime. Well, the Declaration of Independence was an indictment against the King of England. That's a standard. So when we talk about I pledge allegiance to the flag, we're talking about I pledge allegiance to certain standards. Let's get past the cloth and get into what the cloth represents. And that's what we're pledging allegiance to. It's not an idol. We're pledging allegiance to a standard. A standard that was adopted by Americans, fathers and families, that the state and the church can be challenged without the fear of being killed. How's that for a standard? Oh, that back in the day, that rocked the world. That's why they say, that's why they wrote that thing, a decent respect for the opinions of mankind require that we declare the causes for our separation. That's paragraph one, by the way. Not an exact quote, but I'm close enough. I'm going to challenge Judge Anavon writes on this one. I'm sorry, Judge, you set yourself up for this one. You know, she wants to wag this other flag out there that has no basis in law and has no basis at all in American jurisprudence, has no basis in history. It, because it's a peace flag? You know, what are the standards behind that flag? Because that flag is a standard too. What standards does that flag distinguish? Paper terrorism? You know, by the time you get done looking at all the paper and wading through all of the things that you got to do to get your status right, and all the money you got to spend, and all of the, you know, folks, you're caught inside of another narrative. Those that are going down that path, it's just another narrative. You're hacking at the branches. Here's where Judge Anna and I agree. Oh yeah, there's a serious problem. But her distinction is conspiracy. My distinction is we've drifted away from the covenant that this nation is founded on with God. And as a result of us drifting away from that covenant, we have problems. Okay, we can go into the Civil War. We can go into the 13th Amendment. You know, pick a spot. I'll pick a spot. It's inside us. The problem is within us. Let's not look outside for the problems. Let's look inside for the problems. Because you know what? When we've exhausted all of the outward remedies and we don't seem to get anywhere and nothing seems to work, the only way out is in. And we're at the place in history where there's no way out except in. And when I say in, I mean back to the root. That's what the word repent actually means. The word repent comes from the Greek word metanoia. It literally means change the way you think. Change what you think. Change the way you use your mind. Distinguish your mind. Distinguish your thoughts and change them, because the ones that we're having that create narratives within which we live that lead us down a path to destruction, that ain't it. Repent means to alter your mind in such a way that you can begin to commune with the Holy Spirit, who brings all things back to our remembrance. Oh, now there's a concept. Remembrance. What does that imply? I'll just leave that alone, but it says that. As a matter of fact, it goes on to say, you know, you don't need any man to teach you anything, for God teaches you all things. And you know what? When you're in covenant with the Father, when you've entered into the marriage relationship, maybe as a fiancé, it's a metaphor that Messiah used. When we enter into this union with our Father, we have the mind of Christ. I think of the Father as like this universal internet that's even more than an internet. Our Father is way beyond artificial intelligence, and you're telling me we have access to that? Because that's the gospel of Christ. Messiah says to Peter, who do the people think that I am? Peter says, well, some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Messiah says, well, who do you say that I am? And he says, well, you're the Messiah, Son of the living God. Messiah said, you know what? Heaven and flesh and blood did not teach this to you. In other words, it wasn't the Pharisees, Sanhedrin. It wasn't the Sadducees. You didn't get this from anyone on earth. You got that direct. Direct revelation. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And so the Catholic Church, hey, there's the foundation of our authority. Baloney! A critical reading of that and an understanding from the totality of scriptures is he got that by revelation. And the revelation itself is the communion with the Father and the source of understanding that comes from a direct revelation when you're in covenant with the Father. So blessed are you, Peter. You get it. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The rock is truth. The rock is truth. Self-evident truth is a foundation for America. Truth is a foundation. Truth is a standard that the American flag represents. Sorry, Judge. You'll never see me pledging allegiance to your flag. As a matter of fact, that's a really dangerous thing you're doing to mislead anybody. And if you don't know, you should know. You parading yourself out there to be a judge. You need to know this because you're misleading people. You're misleading new patriots. People come along into the patriot community, you know. I don't want to run anybody down. But, you know, Messiah said, you know, if you mislead one of these little ones, it'd be better that a millstone was tied around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Okay, that's a nasty way to go. But, you know, this idea of deceiving people. Why are you doing that? Why haven't you gone down this road with me and walked with me and thrown in on this idea? Because this is the only argument that can bring us together as one. This is the only argument that can save America. This is the only one because it's a root. We're not operating blaming somebody like the Federal Reserve or even the Jesuits or whoever you want to blame for this situation that we've gotten ourselves into. It's all on us. You know, we were a little distracted after the Civil War, you know, 620,000 people dead, you know, broken families. Okay, so, you know, the South, you know, they came back in under the Reconstruction at gunpoint and they had to vote a certain way. And yeah, there's a lot of fraud. There's a lot of reasons that we could say that things are illegitimate. You know, the corporate U.S. since 1871, a fake government stealing your name because it's all in uppercase. You know, she's only half right. Yeah, those are problems. Yeah, but, you know, there's a deeper problem here. And we can't fix it with paperwork. Just like the flag is symbolic of standards. Well, you can't get out from underneath total corruption with paperwork. You really think that these guys that have conspired to overthrow the United States government and the state governments through chicanery and fiat money system and income tax and all of the stuff, national emergency in 1933, HJR 192, Roosevelt, the New Deal, blah, 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 blah. On and on it goes. God, you end up chasing the conspiracy and you miss the root because you're caught up in the branches. I'm just as guilty as anyone. Wrong word. Not guilt. I was looking for answers too. You know, I always thought, okay, I'll do this. I'll try to file a commercial lien or, you know, I'll use the Treasury Direct account to cancel debt. You know, I'll use the Uniform Commercial Code because we're all under Admiralty Maritime and the words you say keep us in honor or dishonor. Well, you know, there's a merit to all that, but there's a deeper truth that we're missing. And if we're arguing about the branches, we've missed the point already. One nation under God, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. You know, the truth, God's truth is eternal and it's ours if we claim it. We speak it in love. Cut through the noise, find the root. Truth is still ours. You know, there's been some drift. We've drifted away from the truth. And as a result of drifting away from the truth, narratives have arisen. And these narratives are killing us. You know, when Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, It was a death sentence. And I would offer for your consideration that it wasn't a command not to eat off that tree. It was a warning. Don't do it. You go down that, you go down a path of narrative. Oh, my God, those narratives are like a tree, and they have branches, and they have fruit, and you start eating from that tree, and you get to be right, and you get to find factions that agree with you, and you get to tell all kinds of stories that you buy into, and then all of a sudden, hypnosis and crowd, and mind control, and it's all intended for one thing, to kill, steal, and destroy, because isn't that the adversary's role in all this? You know, America's founders bled for liberty. Valley Forge, frostbite, no taxation without the consent. Today, you're taxed for wars you didn't vote for. Anna's right, the system is rigged. We're not disagreeing with certain premises. We're not disagreeing with, we're agreeing where we can. Yeah, the system is rigged. But her dodge is a dead end. You know, Frederick Bastiat, and I recommend everybody look up Frederick Bastiat and read his book called The Laws, written about 1850. It's really good. This needs to be one of your primary manuals to understand. You know, he argued that the law has been turned from its very purpose and instead has turned into a form of plunder when it forgets what it was established for, what it's used for. So since the beginning of our knowledge of reality on this planet, law is always used to plunder. It's like the default position. It's like, so if we don't understand the law, inevitably becomes a weapon, and that weapon ultimately enslaves. Scripture says where the spirit is, there is liberty. Root it here. Liberty is still ours, but the drift has taken us away from our understanding of the covenant that we have with our Father. I'm going to stop here. I said 45 minutes, and I'm going on to an hour. I'll pick up here next week. We'll have a part two of this too. But I'm going to stop right there because I've said enough for now. And I guess Mark will yield to some questions and some conversation.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to ask a question, please unmute your phone with either *6 or the unmute button and ask your question.
Hello, this is Justice John Herman in Texas.
Yes, sir, you have the floor.
Well, I just can't thank you enough, sir, for the incredible, the passion is obvious, the clarity of thought, I believe what is your design to reinforce the principles and values that are foundational to us, which, as you've already stated, they're founded in that we're created, and they come from God. They're inalienable rights, only enumerated, not given, but only enumerated in the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. And I love the fact that you explain it so well, and you always take it back to our faith. And where we find ourselves is, as you've already said, we've drifted. Some people, the military experience, they call it mission creep, where you creep off the real design of the mission into, other things. And that's what's happened with us, is they've taken it out of the schools and quit teaching us the Constitution, quit teaching the Christian faith, the Word of God, etc. Our nation has crept away from its foundation. I've said in the past that it's we are persuaded and moved in morality, but an ethic never changes. Morality is moved around by the pressures of the society where that morality exists, but the ethic is a chalk line. It never changes. It's always fixed. And what we need to do is move our moral compass back to the ethic that was established, from God in His Word, and on which this nation was founded. That being said, and again, I can't thank you enough. I love listening to you talk. I'm not trying to blow smoke at you. I'm just telling you. I think you do a wonderful job. We have this situation that we find ourselves in now where, you know, the theoretical, if you will, I don't want to diminish it, but I'm going to call it the theoretical of, you know, who we are as creations by God, as enumerated in the Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights. We have the, if you will, the theory. And then you have the practical, which is where we find ourselves. And when theory meets practical, you have reality. And the reality that we have right now is that as a people, we find ourselves, brother, I have to tell, one day maybe you and I can have a cup of coffee and we can talk about all the things that I've done to stand, to go back to, just to insist upon my rights and what that has led me into. It's not been good, to say the least. It's a heck of a thing, and I'm still waging these battles. But the last couple of years have been just beyond awful. Truly a nightmare for my wife and I, and we're still under attack. Having said that, the reality of the situation is that they have filled their courts. I saw something with Elon Musk the other day, or at least it was on X, where they are convinced that 70% of the state of Texas, anyhow, is populated in its judges and prosecutors by Soros-appointed folks. He's assisted them into office and all of that. And so we have ourselves in courts and dealing with law enforcement, in fact, and I don't want to overgeneralize and say that all law enforcement's bad. I don't believe that. In fact, I'm very pro law enforcement. A peaceful society must have a law enforcement. Because you go back to Cain and Abel. People are always going to do bad things to each other, and you need to hold those people that do bad things accountable. So a peaceful nation requires law enforcement, and I'm very pro-law enforcement. But when you have these courts as they are now, and then you have a majority, I believe, of law enforcement, which is their army, to enforce their corporate statutes and to enforce the trampling of our freedoms, then as individuals we get attacked and we get beat up and even destroyed in many cases. And having said that, how do we right this when we so desperately need a majority of the people to stand, to really begin to, because we are the majority, and if we will just realize the power that we have and decide we've had enough, as they did a long time ago, and declared their independence, how do we practically get the people to decide to stand? I believe it's happening. I think there's a revival that's occurring. I think it's both in spiritual. I think it's a political. I think there's a real revival happening. But the practical is we've got to get the people to stand against these tyrannical, these evil, these demonic people that occupy our courts and our law enforcement. I'd love to hear you just kind of wax, if you will, on philosophically on that, and I yield. Thank you so much.
Okay, if I may, thank you. I consider it a privilege, to be in a group with you in it. Thank you for your sacrifice and what you're going through. I get you. I get you. I don't disagree with anything you said. Yes, to everything you said. You've distinguished exactly what I've experienced. And I've come out on the other side of it. Spare you the details. Suffice it to say, I totally get what you're saying, and I do not disagree. And I trust that through conversations in this group, we have some amazing minds among us. And with the right, with the root understanding, where we remove all doubt that this is one nation under God and that we've drifted, mission creep, as you put it. Once we distinguish that and we find all of ourselves tapping into our Father's Spirit, which is at our disposal, just, you know, in a prayer, it's that far away. It's not far away. It's not over there. It's right here. Once we tap into that, I trust that the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which has been distinguished as the tree of life, Scripture, will give us understanding to navigate our way through what is coming on this country right now. We're not out of the woods just because Trump is there. Thank God. We've got a leader that is courageous, and he surrounded himself with a cabinet of people that are courageous. That's inspiring. I'm inspired. And so each one of us, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, because you're not an eye, I don't need you. Each one of us has been given a gift, talent, ability, something. We all bring something to the table with us. And when we come together as one, where we're distinguishing the foundation, one nation under God, and we're not, you know, vying for a position or you know, trying to be famous or whatever is driving people to want to drive a wedge of division. You know, that's not the body of Christ. That's not operating. That's not functioning under the Pledge of Allegiance to standards of unity and communion and coming together as one. Divided, we fall. United, we stand. There's another fundamental principle, E pluribus unum, the many is one. Talking about people, talking about the states. It's the national motto. It's the standard again. So the idea of the quarreling, you know, talk about Paul, you know, in the book of Corinthians, you know, what one person says, well, I follow Paul, and one says, I follow Apollos. And then Paul makes this distinction, and this one blows me away, people. Watch this. Are you not acting like mere men? Yeah, that's Scripture. Are you not acting like mere men when you do this? We are called to be more than just mere men. We're called to be sons and daughters of the Most High, brothers of Messiah, Yeshua. He's the standard. America doesn't function without the people understanding that spiritual maturity, the standard of America, the light of the world. You're the light of the world, salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the standard, the city sitting on a hill. You know, the whole world's looking at us. If America falls, the world falls with it. And we'll just be a footnote in history, but it won't matter because we'll be living in the Stone Age again. If there's, you know, the situation is dire. It's not a time to be tearing down the efforts to build up. And it's not consistent with the will of our Father to tear down efforts of that are motivated by the desire of truth. Again, the standard. Yeshua is the standard for how the sovereign body politic is supposed to be acting. Now, we got to get our act together. So thank God for forgiveness, because we're still working on it. That's all I have to say about that. Thanks for speaking up. I appreciate you, brother.
Lord, may I have the floor? This is Jen in Wisconsin.
Go ahead,
Jen.
Can
anyone hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bless you. Thank you, Binder. Appreciate it. Justice. The truth moves me. The truth tells me to speak. And so I pace in my kitchen, and the butterflies take over my solar plexus. My gut says, speak. And the reason I number one, I need to know that justice@gunnison.com is reachable, and that I'm not headed into your junk file. I need to reach you because I have music that sets these words into our voices and our hearts and our souls. And when we sing these words, specifically the Declaration of Independence, but also the Ten Amendments, the good Lord gifted these to me in 1999, not the Declaration, but the amendments came through in 1999. And about 2019, the preamble to the Declaration of Independence came in. And when you sing it, it becomes a part of you and it unites us. We will sing it together. You don't have to be up on the choir risers or a part of the band. But to know the words is to walk the words. And I think this is a way that can help us draw in union and to know that we are one people. Thank you. I yield.
Okay, thank you. That's a good address. Forgive me. I'm going to just reveal a little bit about me in this context. I'm working diligently with a crew to get Tina Peters out of jail. I'm using my skills in law to facilitate, to do my part as best we can. So I'm pretty absorbed into that. So forgive me. I'm not checking my email as diligently as I should. Well, I'm going to commit right now in front of everybody to go back through my emails and check it and pull people. If you could, when you send me an email, if you'll put Republic in the subject line, so I'll know and I'll distinguish it as somebody contacting me in the Republic, and I'll create files. I've already created a file called the Republic, and I'll put you in there, and then I'll be able to see more easily when somebody contacts me. So forgive me for being negligent in that regard, and I will look for it. And I want to thank you. It is a privilege to be in this with you as well. And thank you for speaking, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you as well. God bless you. God bless us all.
Anyone else have a question or a comment? Floor is open.
I have two. One, the email is what? justicejustice@gmail.com?
No, just one justice. justice@gunnison.com. And I'll spell that for you. It's a gun, as in, you know, I'm going to shoot you type thing. Gun. Two N's. GUNNISON. Son. Gunnison. There it is. .com.
Gun, GUNN, did you say five?
I'm sorry, I said I as an igloo. I as an igloo.
Oh, I thought you said five.
That's okay. No, I appreciate you making that distinction. Other people.
GUNNISON.
Yes.
And just one justice.
Yes.
Okay. You had said, you know, which we have the right to throw off said government that's not acting appropriately. Pardon?
Actually, it's a duty. Go ahead.
Right. It's a duty. Correct. It's a duty. So do you consider, because there's a bunch of debate about whether or not we're allowed to put a statement of faith in a constitution, because the old constitutions said that there would be no test, and we're going back to that test concept. But then, so there's a lot of people trying to lean on the idea that, well, we can't really put a statement of faith or a statement of faith that really says much. We have to keep it real high level kind of thing. And to me, if you're not honoring God all the way down to the core of who he is and making that declaration, you may as well be sinning. You're throwing away the country. Your thoughts? Know, because there's a lot of argument about that statement that was in the old constitution of the state. And, of course, the old constitution, you know, I just believe that we should have a very solid statement of faith that says something about who we are, those that are going to be in leadership. And I'm not saying that everyone has to become a Christian. I'm saying those that have to are going to be in leadership, if they don't have a solid understanding of Yahweh, and there's a bunch of arguments about what's the right name, you know, in Yeshua, and there's a bunch of arguments about what's the right name. But if we don't have a solid statement of faith, a statement of affirmation that every one of the officials are willing to make, which I think should be put into the Constitution, that they're willing to put that kind of oath out there, that they're making an oath to God, we're going to see Mason sympathizers, because there's Masons out there that say that they believe in Yeshua, that he's the King of Kings. We're going to see Mason sympathizers out there. We're going to see witches out there. We're going to see all kinds of folks out there slipping themselves into official positions again, because they're in there now. And that's my concern, because I don't want to be lukewarm just because that's the way they did it in 1860. I yield.
Well,
I'd like your thoughts on it, though.
Okay, here you go. I'm going to speak this one from the heart. Somebody needs to be muted. I'm getting some feedback. You know, the adversary of truth, the primary weapons are delusion and misdirection and controlled opposition relative to a narrative that is embraced as reality. The idea, the understanding, the knowledge of God is not a religious concept. I think it was a gentleman that in the last couple of conversations that we've had has distinguished that, and I agree. To say there's no God is analogous to saying there's no truth. To say there's no God is analogous to saying there's no justice. To say there's no God is analogous to saying that there's no spirit. There's no actual reality. It's all arbitrary and capricious and subjective. Well, that's a very ultra far left ideology, and it's what got us in this place today. And there's a lot of people that have bought into it. And look at the results of that. We ended up, if you misgender somebody, that's worse than World War III. You know, I think it was Elon Musk pointed that out in his interview with Joe Rogan. And if you haven't seen that, I encourage everybody to watch that. Okay. These people that want to diminish the idea of an idea of the reality, the fact that God is one, and that we're all operating in the one, whether you're aware of it or not, you're still in the spirit, because there's no place you can go in the universe where the spirit of God isn't, because the spirit of God is one. All right, so having said that, I want to say this. Religious test, Article 6 of the United States Constitution. This is what somebody else has said in a previous phone call. You know, this was a Western European evolution of government that came by an understanding of the age of people of the Age of Enlightenment, and you can't really say they were Christian. They were reaching into a secular view of what Yeshua taught. So, again, going back to the foundation, the law of nature and nature's God is the absolute one. There is only one nature's God. Just like there's only one Father, there's only one Creator. This is the same one. They just found a different way to word it, because back in the day, people were feeling the same way they were doing today about institutional Christianity. Institutional Christianity has let us down. You know, one of the enemy's main tactics, besides gaslighting, is controlled opposition. Infiltrate and destroy from within. Infiltrate and take over from the top. And I've mentioned this before. You know, who was it? I can't remember. I lost his name. Paul Harvey had this talk. Go find it. If I were the devil, and he talks about the first thing he would do is infiltrate the church. Well, not just to corrupt the church from within, but to drive people away from it from without. I don't want to be part of that. And if that's God, I don't want any of it. And that's where the world has kind of come to. But Paul mentioned the same thing in his first chapter of the book of Romans. So it's not a new problem. You know, Paul said, God's name is blasphemed because of you. And he was talking about the religious hierarchy of the day. The same thing is going on today. So I would say that these people, they're hedging because Christianity has taken on this, I'm sorry, I'll be blunt, harlotry. Her interaction with the world is adultery. And instead of leading people to the Father, they're turning people off. They've projected a narrative onto the Scripture. They call it the Gospel, but it leaves out. It's a form of godliness. Excuse me. There's a form of godliness, but the power is denied. It was predicted that it would happen. But this isn't an exception. This is the rule. We're dealing with the same kind of circumstance Yeshua dealt with in his day. Okay, but I'm deviating from the question to get back, circling back to the question. How would Trump would say, I'm weaving. So, absolutely. Again, this nation is founded on the standard as one nation under God. Again, you go back to the motto, you go back to the Declaration of Independence, you look at the history, you look at the writings of the founding fathers, and you go back again to John Randolph Tucker and his book on the Constitution. You cannot get away from the foundation that is the rock that America is founded on. You can't not build this nation on the principle of our Father in heaven. Can't do it. It won't work. You know, it's because we've been taken away from that principle of one that we've got all of the factions in this country that are being exploited by our enemies. They don't care which narrative you adopt, as long as you adopt one, it keeps the enemies in power. So, yeah, conspiracies galore. And if the whole USAID scandal isn't demonstrating that the federal government's gone corrupt to the core, and if the Dominion voting machine scandal, which is being hidden by throwing Tina Peters, the one person on the planet that had the guts to go in there and find that, in fact, we have selections now rather than elections. You know, there's a lot of problems, but there's only one basis for a conclusion. And so I would conclude by saying this. I don't know, you're absolutely right. We have to stand on the same foundation or all we're going to do is build another branch in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and find ourselves in this very situation, even if we were successful going down another avenue. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one nation under God, indivisible. That speaks so loudly, we better agree on the foundation or we'll never agree on the solution. We have to agree on the premise. And if we come up to a conclusion that is contradictory, the law of contradiction say that you're on the wrong premise. So I said that to say this. We're in a dilemma today. It's difficult to know which way to turn because we're living inside the branches and it appears to be hopeless. But it's not hopeless if we return back to the fundamental principle and operate from that premise. And then whatever information comes to you, you want to act on it. It may cost you some time in jail. It may cost you your family. It may cost you your friends. But Yeshua said that would happen. He said, if anyone follows me, you know, they're going to treat you just like they did me. If they hate me, they'll hate you. If they love me, they'll love you. If they kill me, they'll kill you. You know, he promised it. You know, and then there were seven. There was, you know, all these people came around him and he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life with me. And everybody left. Here's the apostles. Well, why are you guys still here? You know, he basically says, well, why are you guys still doing here if I left? He says, because you have the words of life. Life is another principle. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness among these truths, among these self-evident truths, among these self-evident inalienable, unalienable rights is life. So when we can agree on those and build on those, we're building on the rock that is truth, that is Christ, that is the foundation. It's not a religious notion at all. It's a fact. And it's built into this nation's foundation. And now I will yield.
I really appreciate your view. I really appreciate your sharing that. I hope everybody's listening really well. Can I ask you about Tina Peters? Is there some possibility that reaching out to Trump for a, you know, for him to pardon her?
In a nutshell, no, because the adversaries that were working against Tina devised a turning law into a weapon, as Frederick Bastiat talked about in his book. They turned it into a weapon, and what they did was they kept all of her evidence out of her trial with a motion to suppress evidence, because the way they framed her indictment by a grand jury, there was 10 charges, and none of them had to do with the elections. None of them were framed in such a way as to allow her to bring her evidence into the court. They brought it in state court. They were state convictions. So Trump doesn't have the capacity to issue pardons in matters involving state law. Most recently, Tina Peters filed a petition for habeas corpus, which is now in federal court. Pam Bondi has weighed in on that, and her attorneys are now fighting to get her out of jail. She's in very poor health. They're not treating her well. It's very analogous to what they did to the J6 prisoners. They were mistreated, and I think that they did that on purpose in an attempt to break them. And unfortunately, that's where Tina's at right now. We're doing what we can to get her out of jail legally, lawfully, you know, at least, you know, this narrow path they've given us, even though we're fighting inside lawfare, which is what Trump did. So we're kind of following his example. We have to exhaust every conceivable remedy. And so I don't know if that's helpful, but the bottom line is they devised a very solid, scheming plan to punish her, to call it so that attention wouldn't be called to what she found, which was the smoking gun that could bring the entire Dominion system down on the entire planet it was too big of a thing to let her get away with. That's what's actually going on. And so, no, Trump is outside. It's outside the scope of Trump's authority. Thank you.
Is there a place for making donation to the, you know, to the work that you guys are doing for her?
She has a website. I haven't been on there for a while. I don't recall whether there's a place that you can donate. What I'll do is I'll find something and I'll get that to Sandy where she can then turn around and spit it out to the rest of you. How's that? Or I'll bring it with me next week. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to make a donation of about $500 at least.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, I'll make sure that you get connected to the right source on that.
I would appreciate it. Thank you.
In the subject line, if you wanted to do that, just put Republic and then semicolon Tina Peters, and then I'll know that I can forward that email to where it needs to go.
All right. I appreciate it. I'll send it to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I yield.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
This is Debbie Sharp, Free State of North Carolina. Would you repeat the name of the book and the author, Frederick Bastiat, and any other books you have?
Frederick Bastiat, and I'll spell that F-R-E-D-E-R-I-K or C-K, I'm not sure. The last name, it's a French author, B-A-S-T-I-A-T, Bastiat. And as far as other books, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know where to start. One that I highly recommend, highly, it's one you'll wear out, I guarantee it, is John Randolph Tucker on the Constitution, and it's written around 1899. But it's an amazing book, and I source a lot of my information from that book. I've incorporated into my understanding.
Thank you, and I yield.
I'll give you one more. I just thought of one more. Two Treatises on Self-Government. And doggone it, Thomas Paine? I'm not sure. Look up Two Treatises on Government, and that should take you right to the book. And I believe it was Paine, but I might be wrong on that.
How do we go about finding out if our judges are backed by Soros?
I would
go ask.
No, I would, let's go to a deeper concept. If the judges aren't, backed by an understanding of the one being our Father, if they're not taking an oath from that place and actually saying the words with the heart attached to an understanding, it doesn't matter whether it be George Soros or some lobbying or someone bribing them. It doesn't matter. What matters is that if they're not operating from a place of one nation under God, they're already operating from a place of malfeasance, because that is a fundamental truth. And if we depart from that truth, then it's a slippery slope to wherever you end up, whether it was George Soros or someone else. So I would err on this side. If they're not operating inside the principle of one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all, then they're already compromised. And I would say that's probably most, if not all, of the judges in America. This nation has been commandeered because of ignorance and lack of understanding, and that's been deliberate too. David Rockefeller's public education indoctrination system. It's because of our lack of understanding. People perish for lack of knowledge, and they go into captivity for a lack of understanding. Most of those are scriptures, and we're living in that time. So I think I would just make it easier by saying, go ahead.
Would you say that it also includes all of our government officials, all of our elected, our congressmen, our senators, our federal employees, the people who work our... Wouldn't you say it's all of them now?
That's a real generalized statement, but yeah, I would. Because the depth that we're talking about right here, that the depth that of this conversation, I've never met anybody in my life that this is the first time I've shared the depth of these. I have an interesting story to tell, but it's not going to happen here. But yeah, I would say, yeah, you know, that's how far we've drifted. We've drifted to the point where it's embarrassing to believe in God. It's not even that we don't believe. It's that there's a contemptuous spirit that rises up, as seen by the woman who was speaking earlier about her cohorts and not wanting to have anything to do with putting God. I mean, you can't elevate us above God and thinking that we know better than what the America's founding fathers knew. You know, we can build on their idea. You know, they had the right idea. Now, maybe what they did is not perfect. You know, it can be tweaked, but it was a great idea for the time, and it's still a great idea if we would just use the principles. But these judges, yeah, they're compromised in one way or another because they don't have a heart for the one. Now, and that's a real broad brush, so I'm going to be careful not to indict every last one of them. You know, it's how many of these bureaucrats that were operating inside the federal government, they couldn't speak because if they did, they'd lose their job and, you know, they'd lose their paycheck. And so they just went silent, but everything in them was screaming. And they become, some of them become whistleblowers because they can't handle the pressure. But what we're talking about here runs so deep that, yeah, it's not something you're going to find inside the government and inside of an individual within the government. I think their conscience would lead them out, as it did me, because I used to work for the government a long, long time ago. I was in the Coast Guard, then I worked in the civil service for a while after that, and it was while I was in that world that I realized I'm in the wrong world. So, I yield.
I thank you, and I yield.
David, getting a little bit late. Should we wrap it up, you think?
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up. And this, I appreciate everyone that stayed in the conversation with us. So Mark, if you'll take us out, I appreciate you and the opportunity to share. And it's quite an honor to speak to this group. Thank you.
I just want to add one thing that we're all talking about here, and that's where do we get justice? Where do we find the answers? So you turn the government around, and of course it's in the Holy Bible, and Psalm 82 speaks to what we were talking about tonight, and I'll just read a couple paragraphs. It says, God stands up to open heaven's court. He pronounces judgment on the judges. How long will you judges refuse to listen to the evidence? How long will you shower special favors on the wicked? Give fair judgment to the poor man, the afflicted, the fatherless, the destitute. Rescue the poor and needy from the grasp of evil men. But you are so foolish and so ignorant because you are in darkness. All the foundations of society are shaken to the core. And I'm going to stop there for time's sake. I don't want to unmute anybody. And
thank you
for the question,
everybody.
God bless.
All the MAGA people, make America godly again.
Amen. Amen for that.
Yep.
Here.